2 Samuel chapter 16, if you have your Bible. Now, I try to go a little bit slower on Wednesday night. And y'all been accusing me of preaching some long sermons. You'll have been with me Monday night and Tuesday night. You're talking long, brother. Of course, they sang a lot. You know, if y'all wouldn't sing so much, it wouldn't take near as long. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 16. I'm kind of stalling while I hear pages turning, and I'm stalling. If all else fails, go to the table of contents in the front. They taught me that in the about the fifth grade. So in the sixth grade, I started copying things out of the book because I knew how to find them. All right, 2 Samuel chapter 16. I want to talk to you about a fella tonight. His name's Shimei. And he's called the thrower of stones. The thrower of stones. And I wrote a little note down here. I said, with friends like that, who needs enemies? And I want to tell you the story of Shimei and David. And then I want to help you. I want to help you with when people throw stones at you. And they will. I'm not talking physical. Every once in a while you might get a physical, but most of the time it's words and things like that. So let's look at chapter 16 in 2 Samuel chapter 16. And you ought to read the whole chapter, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to read right now verses 5 through 12. Verses 5 through 12, if you'll look at it with me. And when King David came to Baharim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gerar. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and all the servants of the king David. And all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus Shimei, when he cursed, this is what he said, thus said when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial, or of the devil. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai, the son of Zephariah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of... These Jews fought all the time because they couldn't pronounce each other's name. Zerai. So let him curse, because the Lord has said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seek my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his curse in this day. Now, in case you don't know the story, David is fleeing for his life from his very own son. His son Absalom has politicked. He's got in good with the people, and he's turned them against David. Now, you got to remember, David wouldn't kill Saul. He waited till God removed him, and when Saul and his family was dead, then David stepped up to the... which he was already anointed for, already declared king, but he waited till God got Saul out of the way. He said, I won't touch God's anointed. And so now David's been on the throne a few years, and his own son turns against him. And if you will, go back. He said there in verse it's verse 10. He said, "What if I do with ye sons of Zechariah? Let him curse me, because the Lord, he has said unto him, curse David." He felt like that God had sent that man to curse him, because his son had turned against him, and his son had taken his throne, and now he and his loyal followers, the one that was real close to David, are fleeing for their lives, because his own son would have killed him, had him killed. So they're going through a valley, and as they go through that valley, up here on this hill up here, the little old fella, he's running across the hilltops up there. His name's Shimei. He's picking up stones and throwing them at King David and cussing him and cursing him and saying all kind of terrible things about him. And he's saying, "You're getting what you deserve, because you killed Saul and you killed his family and their blood is on your hands. Now God's giving you what you deserve." That's what he was saying. That's what he was accusing him of, falsely. On two occasions, David had the opportunity to kill Saul and he refused to do it. On other occasions, he had opportunity to let others kill Saul, and he refused it. So the man's lying. He's saying something's not true. And at the same time, he's cursing one of the greatest kings that ever walked planet Earth, a man that God loved special, and he's cussing him, and he's throwing rocks at him. And I imagine right about this time, David was probably at the lowest point of his life, as he was fleeing from his own son Absalom. Now, wouldn't you imagine that that's probably the lowest point of his life, where his own son has turned against him and taken his kingdom, and now he's sent people to kill his own daddy, and his son is ruthless and mean and hateful and wicked, and he's taken the kingdom, and now David's having to leave. And as he's leaving, Shimei, one of the descendants of King Saul, who is now dead, he hated David. He held a grudge against him for taking over the throne after Saul, and his heart was filled with hatred and vengeance and bitterness, and he cast stones and he cursed David, just like all the enemies of God's people do to God's people. Ought not surprise us. Now let me tell you something. When you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you became a member of the family of God, the devil finally took notice of you. He didn't care nothing about you before. See, he had you before. He already had you. People say, "Well, the devil's down at the beer joint." No, he's not. He's already got that crowd. He's over at the church house. And now, you got enemies. The people that were supposed to be your friends and people that said they loved you, now all of a sudden they're out to discredit you and bring you down so they can say it's not real and that you're a hypocrite and a liar. I mean, those of your own household sometimes. In this case, the man's own son turned against him, and then the people that followed his son turned against him, and then the people that were descendants of Saul, who he didn't even have killed, he's against him, and this man's cussing him and telling lies on him. Now, that ought not surprise us. We've got people, as children of God, we've got people, and if you've been saved over a year or two, you've probably been falsely accused and lied on and gossiped about and everything else, and they'll call you self-righteous or holier than thou and all this stuff, you know, holy roller. I like that term, holy roller. That's when you feel so holy you roll over on Sunday morning and don't go to church or Wednesday night. And they start calling you names. And then when that doesn't work, they start falsely accusing you of sin you didn't commit or things you didn't say. Y'all still with me? And see, that's the way the world is. The world, once you come to know the Savior, they're out to destroy you. And they start throwing stones. You ever heard that old saying, you know, we shouldn't, people that live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. Well, we all live in glass houses. If you start throwing stones at people, I guarantee you, you'll get some back at you, because we all deserve it anyway. Amen? But this man hated his guts. Let me show you some things about this man that will relate to your enemies. Now, as a Christian, I don't have any enemies. I don't, as a Christian. I don't hate anybody. Since I was born again, God gave me a new heart, a new mind, a new spirit, a new love, all this stuff. I can't find it in my heart to hate anybody. Now, I dislike the way some people are, and I don't want to be around them, but I don't want them to go to hell. I don't mean them any ill. I don't mean them any harm. I wouldn't curse them. Amen? Now, before I was saved, I couldn't say that. But God puts the love of God deep down your heart, and then you don't have any enemies. But because of now, because of who you are, now the position you hold in the family of God, some people consider you their enemy. Now, you don't have any enemies, or you shouldn't. But some people consider you as their enemy. And this describes them right here. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 30. Look at verse 30. And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet and wept as he went up and had his head covered, and he went barefoot, and all the people that were with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up. Now, for some reason, this man, Shimei, thought that David's trial was David's defeat. Now let me just go ahead and tell y'all something. I'm one of these guys, I get to preaching, I'll cry, I'll get talking to people about the Lord, I'll get to crying. Don't mistake tears for weakness. Don't mistake tears of compassion, tears of joy, tears of thanksgiving for weakness. You understand me? Now, Shimei saw David going up that mountain barefooted, and he didn't have a coat on, and he was weeping because of all the things that had been happening, and he was about to lose his kingdom to his own son, and he said, "Man, we got him now. He's beat down, and I'll get him now. I'll tell him what I think of him." I've been wanting to tell him anyway. He mistakenly believed David's trial meant David was defeated, but he wasn't. And you see, that's when the devil wants to jump on us when we're having a trial. The devil and his crowds will circle like a bunch of buzzards. Y'all remember that time I preached in here with a stick, run around and said, "Shoot the buzzards off, shoot the buzzards off." Y'all remember that? Brother Burrell said he was scared I was going to poke his eye out with that stick, running up down the aisle, shooing the buzzards off. I said, "You didn't have nothing to worry about if you wasn't a buzzard." Amen. But that's when the buzzards are circle. It's when they think that your trial is a defeat and this is the end of you, and boy, I can get them now. Don't be mistaken. But that's exactly what Shimei thought. And then I want you to notice this. He underestimated the loyalty of David's true friends. He underestimated. Now, David had a lot of friends. David had friends leaving with him. A lot of them stayed behind that wasn't true friends. But the true friends walked in when everybody else walked out, and they were leaving with him to protect him and to take care of him and still gather up a little army for him, you know. And Shimei thought, well, everybody else has deserted him. Now, this crowd following him, if I scare them, they'll desert him too. He was sadly mistaken. He was sadly mistaken. If you don't believe it, let's see. And David, well, here it is, verse 9. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord, the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head." That's friendship there, buddy. Amen. He said, "Who's that guy think he is? He ain't nothing but a dead dog compared to you. He ain't nobody. Let me just go over and chop off that guy's head. Amen. I'll get him out of the way." Amen. Listen, our Shimei, those people that consider us their enemies and they want to attack us when we're down, they better not forget that there's still some true friends around. Those true friends, like I said, they'll walk in when everybody else walked out. And they'll stick with you. And they'll take up for you. Billy ain't here tonight, Billy Burgess. But and I've told y'all this story. I preached over in a tent meeting over in Fort Mill one time. And I preached out of John 3:16. I preached on the love of God. And I didn't know it was a bunch of mean, hateful Baptist men there. I thought everybody loved like I love because the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts. And I preached on loving the saints and loving the sinner. Amen. And they didn't like the part about loving the sinner because they think they've never been sinners, see. And boy, it upset their apple cart. And Billy Burgess said it almost split the church. Said every Sunday school lesson after that for months was about that preacher that came over and preached in that tent. And every sermon for about a month was about that preacher that came over and preached in that tent. That compromising, weak preacher. That's what they said. And I didn't know they were having it. He said, it almost split the church. We had to have a special meeting on it. I said, on the love of God? He said, yeah. He said, I was the only one that stuck up for you. I didn't even know they were having a fight. But let me tell you something. A real friend will stick up for you. They won't let people run you down. It amazes me how these gossipers and backbiters will attack somebody, and people that call themselves friends of that person will not speak up. You know what tells me? They're not really friends. Amen. Someone said, principled people do not stand behind popularity. In other words, in your most unpopular time, principled people, people that live by the Word of God, they'll stick with you whether you're popular or not. Amen. That fellow's up there throwing rocks and he's cussing and he's lying about him, you know, and everything else. And one of David's soldiers reached over and grabbed one of them. Man, them swords were that long. They weighed a ton, you know. They're solid steel. Reached over and pulled that thing out and said, let me go over and cut that dog's head off. Amen. Amen. Let me cut his head off. Now, hey, that sounds like a real Baptist to me. Amen. He wasn't one of those nickel-nipping, penny-pinching, soft-soaping, ear-tickling, back-scratching, panty-waist preachers. Amen. He was a real old-fashioned John the Baptist. Amen. Amen. They used to call me Ron the Baptist down at the mill. There comes old Ron the Baptist. But let me tell you something. A real friend will stick up for you, and they'll stick by you, and look, they won't listen to all that stuff. A fellow came to me one day. And he said, listen, so-and-so came to me and he was telling me this and this other guy come over and he was telling me this and they was talking about you. He said, and I looked at him and I told him, you need to quit talking about a man that's not here to defend himself. What you need to do is go with me right now and we'll go see him and you can tell him this stuff. And he said they wouldn't come. I said, that's because they were liars. They were lying. They wasn't telling the truth. But I'm glad there was somebody there that loved me enough to stand up for me and say, shut up, that's my friend. Amen. And that's what you ought to do. But everybody's scared now that somebody's going to think they're prejudiced or somebody's going to think that they're bigoted or somebody's going to think that they're narrow-minded or something like that. Well, so be it. If that's what you want to call me for sticking up for my friend, go ahead and call me whatever you want to. But I'll guarantee you, me and them will still be getting along good while you ain't got no stinking friends left. Amen. Look, we ought not just take up for people that are popular. You know, there's some folks come to this church, probably couldn't go to church anywhere else. People make fun of them. Let me catch you making fun of them. Amen. I had, there's 10 in my, 9 in my family, and I had 3 sisters that were mentally retarded, and they got picked on all their life. But boy, every time they see me, they say, "I love you, Wani. I love you, Wani." They had cleft palates. They couldn't talk plain. They couldn't read or write. My sister Judy didn't learn how to write her own name till she was 55 years old. But boy, she'd go to church, and every time she'd come to anywhere I was preaching, she said, "Ronnie, can I sing?" I said, "Yeah." And she'd get up and sing the same song every time. Couldn't read a lick, and she'd sing that song, "I Won't Have to Worry Anymore." And it'd bring the house down. Woman didn't have nothing. Married to a mentally retarded man. They had nothing. And had no children. Had no money. Lived in a little old one-bedroom trailer. A little shack-like thing. And went to heaven from the Lancaster County poorhouse. They told her she was going to die. I walked in there that day. She said, Wani, did they tell you? "I'm going to see Jesus, Wani. I'm going to see Jesus. The doctor told me I'm going to get to see Jesus." I said, "What?" He said, "I was going to die, but I ain't going to die. I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to see Jesus." Amen, amen. Not just take up with popular people. Amen. Amen. I'm glad Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'm glad He'll never leave me nor forsake me. Amen. And then, he underestimated the loyalty of David's real friends. Amen. Abishai offered to cut the man's head off. Now, you can't get no more friendly than that. Amen. He said, "Don't sound friendly to me. Sound friendly to David." Amen. Who's that dog think he is? Amen. Well, preacher, you ought not preach so mean. It says it right there in the Bible, that dog. Amen. And then I want you to notice this. This man revealed his own condition. You know, if you don't watch out, you harbor bitterness, you blame other people, you falsely accuse, you gossip, you backbite. You know what you're really doing when you do that? You're revealing your own sinfully depraved condition. And people look at you, and when you walk off, they'll say, "I don't believe a word that man says. He talks about everybody. He gossips and goes on and has bad stuff to say about everybody." Amen? But he was revealing his heart, see? His heart, it was exposed by his action. Man, I hear men sometimes, they work a public job and they have a bad testimony on their job because they're lazy. That's their testimony at work, they're lazy. Or the testimony is they're mean. I'm talking about men that say they're Christians. Or the testimony is, they won't tell a dirty joke, but they'll tell one so close to being dirty you can't hardly tell the difference. They reveal their actions. So when those kind of people start talking bad about others, nobody listens to them. Nobody's listening to them. Even to those that won't stand up to them, they stand there thinking, "I wish he'd shut up, because when he goes, I'm going to forget every bit of this trash." Amen. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Used to be a man in this church. He'd come tell me stuff. He'd say, "These people came to me, Pastor, and they wanted me to tell you or talk to you about this or that." He'd done that about 3 times. On the 3rd time, I looked at him. If I called his name, some of you know it. He ain't been here in a long time. I said, "Look here. I want you to go get those people. And I want you to bring those people to talk to this man. Because I don't know who these people are and those people are and some people are." I said, "From now on, when some people come to you and talk about me or tell you to come talk to me about something, you look at them and you say, 'The pastor said you need to go talk to him, not me.'" But what the truth was, the man was lying. It was him talking, not them. There wasn't no people. There wasn't some people. There wasn't some folks told me to go. No, sir. No, sir. I can give you some examples, but I better not. He harbored bitterness in his heart. You could see it. Now, y'all listen to me. Listen real close. If you harbor bitterness in your heart, it's not going to hurt anybody but you. You know, you can be bitter and mad and hate somebody's guts and go to bed at night and can't sleep, and that person that you've been talking about and accusing, and you got bitterness in your heart against them, they're sleeping like a baby. They don't even know you're losing sleep. What pleasure is there in that? They don't even know you're losing sleep over them. Amen. That bitterness will destroy you. It'll make you one sad individual. You'll lose every friend you got if you get bitter. Come on, help me. He blamed David for what God did. David didn't get his kinfolks out of the castle. God did. David didn't kill Saul. God had Saul killed. And his sons, and his grandsons, and his whole family. He had them all killed. God did that. David didn't do that. And yet, this man blamed David for what God did. Sometimes people blame the pastor, and I've gotten used to it over the years. When I was young, it would really tear me up, and I'd cry and get upset and everything. People come blaming stuff on me, you know. If it happened for you, this one and that one, you know, and all. I started saying, no, it's not my fault. I'm still here. I didn't leave. I didn't cause you to get a divorce. That's your problem, not mine. If you'd been listening to my preaching, you wouldn't have got one. Amen? But see, he harbored that bitterness in his heart, and he blamed David for what God did. And by the way, let me tell you something. Nothing's going to get to you that didn't go through God first. In the end, ultimately, God is going to get the blame for everything. He had to allow it. He could have interrupted it. But Saul sinned, and God told him, I'm taking the throne away from you because of what you did. You knew better when you did it, and you're not going to be king here anymore. And God did that. David had many chances. He could have took that throne and sat on it. God sent the prophet and anointed him as king before Saul ever was killed. And he was already anointed king for several years before Saul was ever removed from the throne, because David himself refused to remove him from the throne. And yet Abishai blamed David for killing his kinfolks. David didn't do that. Saul did that. Saul killed himself. Saul killed his own family by what he did. Now, some of our enemies will blame us for what's happening to them. Brother Danny said he's got a fellow he prays for. He tells that fellow, I'm praying for you. He said the fellow came to him one day and said, he's telling him all these things happened to him. He said, brother, quit praying for me. Quit praying for me. God pouring this stuff on me. I can't take it. Don't pray for me. Sometimes I witness somebody that won't get saved. I said, I'm going to pray you can't eat, you can't sleep, you can't work, you can't play, you can't do anything without thinking about your lost condition. Amen? Well, these people, they'll blame things on us. And all we do, we love them. We don't want to chop their head off. We don't want to hurt them. We want to help them. And yet, every bad thing is blamed on us. Now, they assume it's your fault, not God's, but eventually people with a bad heart will be exposed. Luke 6, I'm about through. Matthew, Mark, Luke 6, famous last words, I'm about through. You ought to heard that preacher say it Monday night 13 times. I'm a short-winded preacher. Luke chapter 6, real quick. Y'all not listening fast enough. I got to get over there myself. Luke chapter 6, verse 45, I think it is. Yeah. Jesus is talking. He says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. sooner or later, the real wicked one, the real evil one, will expose themselves by what they say and do. Now, we've had all this exaggerated stuff, you know, about tearing down statues and all that, and riots and all that stuff. Let me tell you something about that. Just watch the videos. You'll see who the wicked people are. Amen. Now, I know some news agencies cut out things. Go on YouTube and just look it up and start looking at people that was there. Their videos, you'll see. Some of it was so pornographic, I wouldn't even tell you to look at them. I'm talking about sodomites. Perverts were there. And it was awful. The Nazis and skinheads against perverts, sodomites. I don't know what all else there was there. Amen. And hey, I'm telling you, eventually the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak, and it's going to come out of your mouth. And people that are mean and hateful, and they're threatening and all this stuff, that's what's in their heart. I don't hate anybody. I don't know anybody that I wouldn't witness to. I don't know anybody that I wouldn't buy a meal. I don't know anybody that I wouldn't clothe if they were naked. I've never met anybody that I don't have some compassion for, like Jesus did. Now, I've met a lot of strange people that I wouldn't want to live with, you know. But I wouldn't want them to starve, and I wouldn't want them to go naked. I wouldn't want them to die and go to hell. Do you understand what I'm saying? I wouldn't curse them. And yet those same people who turn around and curse me and you for what we believe. He discredited David's victories. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 and 8. Y'all ain't listening fast enough. And thus says Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man. And thou man of Belial, that's of the devil, that's another word for him. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom in the hand of Absalom thy son, and behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Now, he tried to discredit David's victory. David didn't get to the throne because he was a crook or a bloody man. He got there because God gave him the victory. He said, come out. What he was really saying was, get out of here. Come out. He was shooing him down that valley. Come out. Come out. Get out of here. You don't belong here, he's saying. He said, thou bloody man. What he's saying is, I'm condemning you for the battles you fought, even though God told him to fight them and God gave him the victory. And then he said, thou man of Belial. That means demon-possessed, demon-inspired man. Man of the devil. You see, he's belittling him. And then he said, the Lord had returned upon thee. He's trying to speak for the Lord now. He said, the Lord's putting you what you're going through. He's putting you through that. Y'all ever heard anybody say that? Yeah, you have. When people want to make you look bad or falsely accuse you, they say, well, you're just getting what you deserve. The Lord's putting that on you because of what you did or because of what you said. And here's what I don't want you to come tell me. If somebody's having a trial, tribulation, heartache, heartbreak, don't come to me and say, this is because of what they did back yonder, or this is what they did in the past, and God's whipping them, God's getting them for it. I don't want to hear that junk. You don't know. You don't know if they're being chastened or not. If you want to tell me anything, say, pray for them. They're going through a trial. Amen. But he said, you son of the devil, you got bloody hands, you're a killer. And he tried to speak for God. He said, in whose stead thou reigned? He said, you killed Saul. Now you're sitting on his throne. He's questioning the authority of David being king, even though God anointed him king twice. And he said, the Lord had divided thy kingdom. Now, wait a minute. He's turning this thing. He's spinning it. Do y'all see what he's saying? He said, now because of what you did, and you ain't nothing but a child of the devil, and you're a wicked man, you're a bloody man because you killed the house of Saul, and you took his throne, and now it's coming back on you. Your own sons turned against you. Well, that wasn't what happened. It didn't have anything to do with Saul and his family. It had something to do with a spoiled, rotten boy who wanted to take his daddy's throne. It had nothing to do with Saul or the death of Saul or his family. He says, thou art taken in mischief. In other words, he said, you're trying to work things. You're trying to be mischievous. He's questioning David's purposes. Now, let me go ahead and tell you something. You don't know what somebody's purpose is unless they tell you. Well, she wouldn't be doing that at church if she didn't think somebody would notice her. Shut a stein mouth. You don't know what the purpose of that woman is. Well, he wouldn't be doing that if he didn't think the preacher... he just thinks the preacher's going to lift him up. Shut up. You don't know what's in somebody's heart unless it comes out of their mouth. You don't know what's... But see, that's what our enemies do. They will accuse... Down there on the job, brown nose. Yeah, I know that ain't a good word, but that's all that come to my head. I couldn't think of a theological term, okay? He's just trying to suck up to the boss man. That's all he is, trying to get that raise. Oh, shut a stein mouth. Hush! You don't know what he's doing. And then last but not least, here's the result. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 9. And Abishai, son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. Just let me go and take off his head. And David said, no, maybe the Lord sent him. Now, it wouldn't hurt us to get a little persecution sometimes. I think the Lord does allow it. It does us good. Amen. It gives us a little exercise. Amen. Spiritual exercise. And it knocks your pride down every once in a while too. Amen. We need that sometimes. He said maybe that's what the Lord's doing with him. Leave him alone. Leave him alone. Don't mess with him. And David ignored Shimei. He ignored him. He rode right on his chair. You know what Shimei did? He got madder. He got madder because he was being ignored. Now, that's the first thing that's going to happen to those people that's your enemy. They're going to get mad when you ignore them. Look, you don't have to answer every accusation. I've been accused just about everything. I learned a long time ago, don't defend yourself. Your life, your words, your actions will defend you. You don't have to defend yourself. Amen? Amen. Come on, help me. I've known preachers get in the pulpit and just rip people on pieces trying to defend themselves because they've been accused of something. No, sir. Somebody came to me one day and said, preacher, you hear so-and-so, they said this about you, and what you going to do about it? I said, I ain't doing nothing. I said, here's how you need to judge me. How have I treated you and your family? That's how you judge people. You don't judge them because Sue said that Jane said that Jim said that Aunt B said that old Loose Lip said. You judge them by what they do with you and your family. Amen? He wanted fame. He wanted recognition. Don't give it to him. I love the president. Don't get me wrong. I love him. But he needs to shut up sometimes. And I know he's a New York Yankee, and it's hard for a New York Yankee to shut up. I know that. I've known enough of them to know. Say amen right there. Even y'all people from Michigan can say amen on that one. Amen. New York Yankee's hard to deal with. Amen. And he's one. He's pure-blooded. Born and bred. He don't know how to shut up. If he just quit talking and let his actions defend his deeds, he'd get along a whole lot better. Especially down here in the South. I mean, he's already got so much against him being from New York and talking the way he does. But he wanted recognition. Your enemies want recognition. They want to throw rocks at you and get your attention. They want to falsely accuse you and get you to break down and cry and beg them to shut up. Ignore it and go on and live for God. And 10 years from now, you won't even be able to find that crowd and you'll still be going. Amen. I'm living proof. You'll still be going. And all that crowd will be gone. He ignored him. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. They've done this to me, and they've done this to me, and they've done this to me. And stop it. Stop it. The Lord's the one keeping score. You don't have to. Every idle word will be held accountable. You ain't got to keep score. So many people keep score. Stop that. I've got enemies that I used to know they were my enemy, and I'll see them sometime. I'll give you a good example. We had a revival here about 2 years ago. This pew over here got filled up. No, it wasn't the Braille's. It was some others. They're not my enemy. And I come busting out of that door. Tony Green was preaching, getting ready to preach. I come busting out. And I'm going around shaking people's hands. I run back there, you know, and I reached over and I shook hands. There were six of them all the way down the aisle. And when I got to the end of the pew, I looked in that woman's face and I said, oh, hey, how y'all doing? I ain't seen y'all in 10 years. And they just act like nothing ever happened. And there ain't never been a person that led a greater attack on me than that very woman. And when she left, she shook my hand. She said, boy, I sure did enjoy church tonight. She kept Brother Tony in here. She attacked him too. She kept Brother Tony in here for 15 minutes talking to him. And you know who I'm talking about, Becky. Kept, don't tell nobody, okay? And Tony was gracious to her, and I was gracious to her. And they came back another night. And then we had another revival. They came again. And I'm talking about these people published it that they hated my guts. They published it that Tony was a crook and a liar and a thief of church money. Yeah. And we ignored it. I ignored it. And now when they see me, can I tell you something? They're my friends on Facebook. Hey, man. They like everything I put up there. They click like. They put them hearts on there. You know, that's good. That's good preaching, Preacher Ron. Good preaching. I forgot they were supposed to be my enemies when they come in. I didn't know. And now they don't even remember why they was my enemy. God's one keeping score. I'm not going to worry about it. And besides that, it may be God put them there to help me. What they're doing may be good for me right now. Right now, I don't know anybody doing this. If y'all doing it, let me know so I don't hate you, okay? But every once in a while, a little false accusation, a little hurt helps. You see, David's pride was all gone. We're talking about the king that God chose. Had to get off his throne, lay aside his royal robes, take off his crown, set down the scepter, leave all that gold and all that furniture and all that stuff behind, and ride out on the chariot, probably with a bag full of clothes. It was really good for him, wasn't it? Because when he came back even more thankful than he was the first time. Now go ahead. Throw your stones. Go ahead. holler, cuss, scream, do whatever you want to. But I'm not turning back. And I'm not giving up. And I'm not backing up. And I've been at this long enough to know that the Shimeis will disappear and they'll be gone. Nobody will even remember who they were. But we'll still be here. And you'll still be what God wants you to be. Ignore them and press on. Father, help us tonight. We really need you. We need to be better Christians like David. God, I wish I could be as good a Christian as David. And then, God, sometimes we need enemies. We need trial and tribulation. Lord, I pray for those people who despitefully used me and falsely accused me. I pray for them, God. You'd save them or do something in their life. And then, God, there's folks here tonight who's having a hard time. Maybe there's a Shimei after them, Lord. I pray for them. You'd strengthen them. And please, whatever happens, Lord, do not let us be a Shimei. Oh, God, don't let us get a bitter heart, an accusing heart. Don't ever let us be like that, God. And one day we're going to get to heaven and we'll know what all this stuff was that we went through and why. Until then, help us to press on and be faithful and love people, whether they love us or not. In Jesus' name, amen.